Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So I'll start by reading our Bible reading this morning, which is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Shepherds were familiar figures in the Middle East, where much of the biblical accounts are set. We find shepherds in many of the Old and indeed the New Testament stories. Their task is to care for sheep. That goes without saying it, doesn't it? That's what shepherds do. And even if the landscape was dry, which it was in that terrain, not very productive, the shepherd's task was to find grass, to provide food, and to provide nourishment for their sheep. We read in verse 2 of Psalm 23, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." It wasn't always easy to find green pastures in Israel. Their task was also to provide safety and protection for their sheep, even if that put the shepherd himself at risk. For example, the book of Amos tells us, as shepherds rescue from the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the people of Israel who dwell in Samaria be rescued with the corner of a couch and part of a bed. Both the Old and the New Testament make it clear that it's the task of the shepherd to go and search for sheep if they go astray, which they tend to do. If they tend to stray off from the flock, the shepherd's task is to go and find them and to bring them back. In the book of Ezekiel, we read, "As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord." And then there's the more familiar verses of Matthew chapter 18. "What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is lost?" Shepherds, good ones, were selfless. They worked hard. They were strong. And they were devoted to the task of looking after and caring for and going in search of their flock, their sheep. The imagery of a shepherd was often used in the Old Testament to describe God and to, as an imagery that would capture something of who God is. He's described in the Old Testament as a shepherd of Israel. His key leaders, men like Moses, are called shepherds. And in the New Testament, Jesus is called a shepherd. Hebrews, for example, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Or Peter, in 1 Peter 2, "For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And he's even called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5. "When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." There are 7 I am sayings in the Gospel according to St. John, 7 things that Jesus says about himself, 7 things that he says he is. "I am the bread of life," he tells us. "I am the light of the world. I am the door," he said in verses just earlier in chapter 10. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life." And this morning, "I am the good shepherd." I was reminded just as I was sitting quietly in church this morning that when we were renovating this building, there's a little window at the back. It's called the Good Shepherd window. And whenever the glass was being inspected prior to the church being renovated, we were told that that little window, in terms of its value, monetary value, is worth more than all the other windows in this building put together. And so it was actually taken out, put away in storage, while the building was being renovated. The Good Shepherd is very, very precious. But we are very, very precious and valuable in the eyes and in the heart of the Good Shepherd. And that's what we see in these verses. Another scripture tells us that Jesus, his very gut was filled with compassion. He loved and cared and placed so much value on you and on me and on every human person. When he saw the crowds, we read in Matthew 9, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. In his lifetime, Jesus here on earth during his years of ministry gave himself unselfishly to healing the sick and to caring for the poor and the hurting and the oppressed and the ones that nobody else cared about. Jesus reached towards because that's the image of the good shepherd. That's the image of being a shepherd. He was nailed to a cross, laying down his life for you and for me, laying down his life for his flock, for his sheep. Another translation of these words that could be used in terms of the original Greek is not just "I am the good shepherd," but "I am the beautiful shepherd." I am the beautiful shepherd. He calls us by name. He knows us. He cares about us. He calls us. 4 times in these verses that I read a few moments ago, we're told that he lays down his life. He goes to the cross. He dies in our place. He goes willingly. He lays down his life. Nobody takes it from him. He does it of his own free will. Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Verses 14 and 15, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 17, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. In the very heart of the Godhead, in the very heart of the Father, in the heart of the Son, in the center of who the Holy Spirit is this compassion, this incredible love for all of humanity. Jesus doesn't lack commitment in how he demonstrates that love for us. He's totally for us, committed to us. He's no hireling. Verse 12. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. But Jesus is not a hireling. He goes all the way to the cross. He willingly lays down his life for all of us. Rejected by the crowds, forsaken by his friends, denied by his closest companion, Peter, betrayed by another one of his disciples, Judas. He submits himself to the cruelest form of execution that man has ever dreamt up, that of crucifixion on the cross. But even more than any of that, the sin of the whole world, the filth of this world, the filth of my sin and your sin, because that's what it is, filth, was put onto Jesus. The most depraved sinfulness of the human race was put on the sinless one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he carried our sin to the cross. And he died in our place. That's what qualifies him to be called the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. A different sort of shepherd. A shepherd who takes goodness to a whole new level. There was an old hymn that was in the old Church of Ireland prayer book. In their lack of wisdom, they took it out. Not that I would be opinionated or anything. But its words go like this. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert, he heard its cry. 'Twas sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for the one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring them back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They were pierced tonight by many a thorn. Jesus knew his sheep. He died for his sheep. He loved his sheep. He submitted himself to the cross for his sheep. Today, he knows you and me by name. Now, if you're in business, you will know some people by name. A hospital specialist will know some of his patients by name. What happens actually is that their secretary set your name in front of them before you go into the room. If you think that they know you and that you're their special patient, the chances are you're not, okay? Our mental capacity, you see, as human beings, doesn't allow us to know more than a certain number of people by name. But Jesus knows all of us by name. Each of us. And the millions, the billions of people in this world, he knows by name. They're known to Jesus. He knows your name. He knows your middle name if you've got one. If you've got three names, he knows that as well. He knows your family. He knows all that there is to know about your family. He knows where we live. He knows the color of the carpet in your sitting room. He knows the stain that's on that carpet in that other room. He knows how many teaspoons are in the drawer. He knows what's in your fridge or what's not in your fridge, if that's where life's at for you. He knows our circumstances. He knows every experience that there is to know. He's acquainted with all of our ways. That's mind-blowing. He's acquainted with all of our ways. Even those that we're closest to, there will be some things that we don't quite know about them. He knows everything, good and bad, everything that there is to know about our past, everything that there is to know about our present circumstances, everything that there is to know about our hopes, our dreams, and our fears. He knows. I love the words of that little chorus that says, He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing His truth can dim. He leaves the very best to those who give the choice to Him. This morning, He's the Good Shepherd. And into your life, He says this morning that He knows and that He cares. I am the Good Shepherd, verses 14 and 15. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Just as the Father knows the Son, and the Son knows the Father, God knows me, and God knows you. And yes, finally this morning, He knows you, even if you don't know Him. I'll say that again. He knows you, even if you don't know Him. You are known by God. You are loved by God. He tells us in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Millions over the centuries who were outside of the nation of Israel have come to know Jesus as their shepherd, as their Savior, as their friend, as their Lord. What we call the Gentile world, you and I are part of it. We've been included in God's love. And we're made His little ones. We're made His children when we believe that He died in our place as we follow Him for the remainder of our lives. This morning, He still invites us to follow Him, to know Him, to know Him now, and to know Him in all of eternity. The Lord is my shepherd, the psalmist could say. My shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can know Him. You can know Him this morning. And the passage ends with people responding in two different ways. Verses 19 to 21, there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? There were those who believed in Jesus on that day. And there were those who didn't. Still how it is, those who believe in him and follow him, those who refuse to believe in him and reject him. We're lost, totally lost, eternally lost until we believe in Jesus and accept Jesus and make our own all that Jesus has did for us and for the whole human race. He's the good shepherd. And he laid down his life for you and for me. God so loved the world, we're told. The world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. None need be lost. None need live without him. None need not know their worth and their value. None need not know the shepherd's embrace. The day you hear his voice, believe in him, own him, trust him, draw near to him, run after him. And if you are already his follower, as many of us are, value in a fresh way what it means to be valued as a little sheep that's loved by the Good Shepherd. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountain wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me, and although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. And all through the mountains thunder riven, and up from the rocky steep there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, rejoice, I have found my sheep. The angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. I am the good shepherd. He'll pick you up when you fall. He'll protect you against your enemy, the devil. He will guide you in all your ways. Make sure that you are part of his care and one of his flock. Please stand.